Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our sixth study through the book of Exodus, and we come today to Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 8, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." If this verse has a familiar ring to it, it should, because God has been saying these words to the king over and over, and of course he has rejected these words every time. And of course that's Pharaoh's problem, not Moses. And he repeats the words again. He will anyway. In verse 2 it says, "But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs." Notice the word "if." God says, "If you refuse," meaning this, Pharaoh still has a choice. Someone says, "Well, why frogs?" Because the Egyptians worshipped frogs. God will attack and defeat another one of their so-called gods if they do not comply. Verse 3, "So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, and on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls." Well, Egypt wanted the frog god. They will have him. Verse 4, "And the frogs shall come upon you, on your people, and on all your servants." Frogs will be everywhere and on everyone, including the king. No place to hide, because the curse of sin that God brings on those who rebel is impossible to escape. 5, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, Say to Aaron, Stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." No normal frog would leave the river or the mucky river bank in order to go into a palace or someone's home. You know, the king should realize that this just isn't natural for frogs to do what they are doing. And he should realize that it must be the hand of God that is causing it. 6, "So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." Well, you can bet that the Egyptians will let these frogs do whatever they want. Can't do anything to upset the frog god, you know. Verse 7, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt." Now, why would they do that? The country is overrun with frogs, and now the king's magicians bring more frogs onto the land. You know, get the frogs back into the water and you've done something. But that just doesn't make any sense. That's because they couldn't reverse God's judgment. Verse 8, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and they may sacrifice to the Lord." Well, where is the Pharaoh who said, "I do not know the Lord, and I will not let the people go"? He isn't talking so tough anymore, is he? Verse 9, "And Moses said to Pharaoh, Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only." He lets the king name the time when he wants this plague to end. That way, when it ends, the king will know that it was God who did it. 10. "So he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. The plague was over. However, dead frogs were everywhere. The odor of dead frogs was a reminder that God cannot be mocked. So many times we see this in the Bible. The consequences of sin remain with us. 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord said. And so when the consequences of sin hit, Pharaoh cried out for help. But now that the consequences are over, or this consequence is over, he changes his mind. Often that's the way it happens. When the consequences of sin hit, guilty sinners cry, God, I will never do it again. But often if the trouble eases just a little bit, they return to their old ways. Verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. The Egyptians also worshipped the earth. And so this plague from God is a direct hit on their earth god. The dirt was actually worshipped by them, so God turned the dirt into a plague of lice. Can you imagine that? Lice all over the place. You know, lice nest in hair, feed on human skin and blood, and transmit disease. And so it just would have been so much easier for the king to obey God than to put up with these miserable lice. Verse 18. Now the magicians still worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on men and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Maybe Pharaoh wasn't getting the message, but his magicians sure were. They could see the difference between their power and the power of Almighty God. They did not know God, but they certainly were afraid of him. The last part of verse 19. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. He just keeps on rejecting, and his heart keeps getting harder. You know, there was a time when the king was listening to the magicians, but now he's not even doing that. 20. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. You say, why flies? Well, because they worshipped flies. You know, there are even statues of flies in some Egyptian tombs. And so God is about to attack another one of their so-called gods. Verse 22. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. God said that he was the God of the Hebrews. The king did not believe God. He thought this God of Hebrew slaves was someone Moses just made up. But with this plague, they will know that the real God is in their land. Verse 23, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. When God's wrath hits, he will only punish the Egyptians. The Bible says that the Lord knows those who are his. Look at verse 24. And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. The land was ruined. These plagues aren't just a nuisance. They are also hurting the economy. No wonder verse 25 is there. Look at it. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Go, sacrifice to your God in the land. Now, God commanded the Israelites to go 3 days' journey to worship. Pharaoh said, Okay, worship, but do it here. He's trying to get Moses to compromise the word of God. Verse 26, And Moses said, It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. Big conflict here, you know. The animals that God approves for sacrifice are some of the same ones that Egypt worshipped. Verse 28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. God says, 3 days' journey. The king says, not very far. Someone says, oh, just do it, Moses. After all, it's pretty close to what God demands. No, do not do it, Moses. Because you know what? The degree of compromise isn't the issue. Compromise of any size from what God wants is wrong. Verse 29. Then Moses said, Indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Pharaoh hardens his heart again. He is abusing the goodness of God. And, you know, I guess it's okay to blast Pharaoh for doing that, as long as we do not do it with a haughty attitude. After all, let's be honest, who among us has not abused God's grace in one way or another? The only difference between the king and those of us who are saved is that we eventually came to our senses by God's grace. I think we'll stop right here and we'll get a fresh start next time in Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. Until then, so long, everyone.